have it open at Matthew chapter 13. Now, as I look around, I'm sure that most people here remember the TV show Only Fools and Horses. Yes, it was a very popular show, wasn't it, for many years. And it follows all the get-rich schemes of the Trotter brothers, Rodney and Del Boy. And it was a really amusing show, wasn't it? They got themselves into all sorts of trouble and situation and scrapes. But can you remember how what was supposed to be the final show finished? It wasn't the final show because a few years later they decided to make some more. But it was going to be the final show. And in this show, there's a bit where they're in the garage and they're just going through one of their boxes that they picked up from a house clearance 15 years earlier, and they find an old antique watch, and they sort of jokingly say, oh, it might be worth something, and it's not, and they just throw it on the side and it's there in their lockup. A little bit later in the day, one of, I think it's Raquel's father, who's an antique dealer, spots this watch and realizes that it's actually a valuable antique. So he persuades them to put it up for auction, and they sell it, and they make £6.2 million, which is a lot of money, even by today's standards, isn't it? And what's so sad and humorous about this is for 15 years they've been trying all these get-rich-quick schemes, while in an old box in their garage has been the key to their fortune. And they have just been overlooking it. Their hidden treasure was at their fingertips. They just could not see it. Well, today, I think people are a lot more aware of how one person's rubbish can be another man's gold. Our TVs are swamped with people looking for bargains in antique shops or taking their old family heirlooms along for valuation in the hope that something that they've got will be worth a lot of money. And every so often, people really do find that they have cash hidden away in the attic. Something that's really valuable, treasure, which is tucked away in plain sight, unnoticed and forgotten about. And on more than one occasion, I've seen at the end of an antiques roadshow, someone being told it's worth something that's worth, it's worth thousands of pounds, and they say, oh, I was going to take it to the charity shop. And they realized that would have been a terrible mistake. Well, in many ways, this is a lot like people's view of Christianity. They may think that they know all about it. They may think it's a little bit quaint, but it has no real value for today. But when people do this, they're making the same mistake that the Trotter brothers made about that rare old watch, and they just left it in the corner of the lockup. The reality is, knowing Jesus, being a Christian, because someone who knows Jesus is called a Christian, is the most important thing in the world and the most valuable thing in a person's life. And when people realize this, then they would do anything to make sure that they get hold of the Lord Jesus Christ and they hang on tightly to him. And this is the point that the two parables that we had read to us from Matthew 13 makes. Now, a parable is a story which takes an illustration from ordinary life, but it's got a deeper and a hidden meaning. And these parables are designed to divide people into two groups. Those who seek to understand the parable and apply it to their lives, and those who just ignore it. Now, these two parables are all about hidden treasure. I'm sure at some point everyone here has gone treasure hunting. They've wanted to find buried treasure. It was over the summer when certain shows on TV were all about pirates, a very popular game in our household, because the children would make up a map and we had to go traipsing around the house following their treasure map looking for the hidden treasure. And in the first of the two stories that we had shared with us, Jesus tells us about a person who really did find treasure hidden in a field. During those days, they didn't have the stability that we enjoy here and now in this country. And every so often, armies came across the land. And when an army came across the land, if you stayed at home, they'd kill you. So you ran to the place of safety. You ran to a fortified city. And what you'd do is you'd take any treasure that you have and you'd bury it in a field somewhere and hoping that you would come back and be able to find it again. And some people came back and some people didn't. Which means there was all sorts of treasure buried away, forgotten in a field. And the same is true today. People go out with metal detectors, don't they? Looking for buried treasure. Or I was reading last week, how people were now running magnets through canals and recovering all sorts of unexploded grenades and guns. But every so often, they do also find treasure in canals. There is treasure out there to be found. Now, in the ancient days, we didn't have all the complicated legal hoops that you have to go through if you find treasure. If you find a treasure hoard today, you've got to declare it, and then there's investigations and all sorts of things. It was a lot simpler in those days. If you owned the land, then the treasure belonged to you. And that's what this man does. He finds some treasure while he's digging in a field, and he goes away and he sells everything that he's got so that he can buy that field. Because he knows that what he's going to get is worth far more than what he's leaving behind. And it's a bit like, I suppose, that TV show that we have nowadays, Storage Hunters. Does anyone watch Storage Hunters? Oh, one or two people are very cautiously putting their hands up. Now, this is an American TV show, but it does come over here sometimes, doesn't it? They have English editions of it. But the idea is that they have people who put things into storage, and you pay to have your goods stored. And while you're paying to have your goods stored, it's fine. But every so often, people go bankrupt, or they just disappear, or something happens. And their items are left in storage in a lockup, and they become the property of the person who owns the lockup when they default on the fees. And that person then sells the contents of the lockup in order to get some of their money back. And Storage Hunters, you have these people, they go along and they have a quick look inside the garage or the unit, maybe a quick wander around. Sometimes they have to buy things blind. And based upon what they see, they then bid against each other to get the contents of that. And there's an ongoing competition between these teams that go on from week to week. And some make great profits, some make great losses. And it's all about going into that lockup and seeing something of value which the other team misses. And that's what both of these parables are really like, isn't it? It's seeing something of value which other people overlook. And then when there's something there that you know that's going to make a huge profit, then they're willing to go big and put all their cash on the line in order to get it, to make their money. And every so often it pays off. And they do win the show. Well, the second story that we have is just like the first. In the Bible, when you get two things together which are very similar, it's reinforcing and emphasizing a point. So we have that well-known story now of how the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when this merchant finds a pearl which is superior to every other pearl, he is willing to sell everything that he has in order to get that. And think what that means. That would mean selling your car, your house. It would mean cancelling your holidays, getting rid of the caravan, maybe even getting rid of all your spare clothes, selling everything that you had so you're left just with the shirt on your back and you can go and buy this pearl which is so incredibly valuable and special. Have you ever wanted something so much that you are willing to give up everything for it? Well, this is how Jesus expects people to view the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven, it's not a place, but it's a people. It's the people who have turned to God and they've asked to be forgiven, and they become the people of God, the people of Jesus, the kingdom of heaven. And these are the people who are really Christians. In our land today, in our culture, lots of people think that they're Christians and they call themselves Christians on the national census, but they're not. They think they're Christians because maybe when they were younger, they went along to church for a while and they were christened and confirmed, or maybe they were baptized, or they've gone to a tent mission and they've gone to the front of their parade of prayer and they're told that they're Christians. But since then, they haven't really thought much about it. And this is what separates someone who thinks they're a Christian out from someone who is really a Christian. Because a real Christian will never be able to let go and think nothing else about it. A real Christian is someone who has really trusted in Jesus and has a relationship with God. If you have a relationship with someone, does it do the relationship a lot of good if you leave it for 20 years and ignore the other person? It doesn't work at all. Being a Christian, being part of the kingdom of heaven, is having that relationship with God, which is ongoing. And each week, you want to find out more about God. You want to spend time worshipping him and reading his word and coming to church and all that sort of thing. If you're someone who thinks that you're a Christian, but you don't do anything about it, and you hardly ever come into church, and you're just in this morning because someone's invited you along, then really you're a little bit like those Trotter brothers who left the watch in the garage for 15 years. Being a Christian is an ongoing commitment. And when you have this, you realize just how valuable and how special it is to be a Christian, to be a member of the kingdom of heaven. So the question is, what is the value of this treasure that some people have found and hang on to so tightly, and other people seem to overlook and ignore? Well, in order to appreciate the value of this treasure, we do need to spend a moment pondering some of the big questions of life. And that's not who's going to win Strictly Come Dancing or Bake Off this year or anything like that. But big questions. Who you are as a person? Why are you able to think? Do you have any purpose? Do you have any meaning? What is the point to your life? Why is it that life seems so unfair, that life can be so difficult sometimes? These are the big questions that the kingdom of heaven provides not only an explanation for, but a solution to these problems and questions. This is why it's treasure. So what is the explanation? Well, I'm going to be very brief. But briefly, it is that God exists and he made everything in this world, including you. You are alive right now because God has made you, which means you owe everything that you have to God. And this is why we're different to the animals. It's why we think and solve problems and why we feel we have that special purpose. This is all because we have been made in the image of God. God has made us. He has given us a job to do. And that was to be in charge of and to look after the rest of his creation. But then something went wrong. And guess what? It was our fault. Even though God had given us everything, including our lives, we wanted more. We wanted to be like God. We wanted to replace God. So we tried to take over from God and become like God ourselves. This was a really bad idea. And as a result, we were all punished and the world was changed so that life became hard, people died, and it became a struggle to survive. And this is why we wrestle so much when we encounter this. This is why when a relative dies, it feels so wrong. This is why we get so frustrated when we don't fulfill our potential, when life is so unfair, and we feel that deep down something's wrong. And the reason we feel like that is because God never meant it to be that way. And deep down, we know it. So what is God doing? Has he just punished us and left us to rot in our misery? Not at all. From the moment we rejected God, he's been working to provide a way back. But it's not simple. It's not easy. Because when we rejected God, we became criminals. What the Bible calls sinners. We don't like the word sinners, so we'll think criminals. And we are people who have done things wrong in God's eyes. And to do things wrong in God's eyes is as simple as living in the world as if God doesn't exist. And it's doing anything wrong that God doesn't want you to do. Forget the laws of the land. It's all about what God wants you to do. So remember things like the Ten Commandments. Have you ever lied? Have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever been jealous of someone else? These are things which are wrong in God's eyes, which means that in his eyes we're a criminal. And criminals have a price to pay. Justice must be done. And God is holy and he is just. So he cannot just let us off the hook. So it looks like there's no hope apart from one thing. God, in his mercy, allows a substitute to be sent to stand in the place of the guilty person and to take the punishment. And this is why he sent Jesus. Jesus came, and he is the Son of God, so he is absolutely perfect. And that's critical, because if it was just another or a person who had done things wrong, they would be punished for what they did wrong themselves. The person has to be completely innocent, but the person also has to be just like us. And Jesus lived on this earth. He went through the sort of life that we went through, and yet he remained perfect. And then when the time was right, he went and he died on a cross. And on that cross, God is pouring all the punishment out on him that he would have poured out on all the people who trust in him. So justice is done and the law is kept. Someone has been punished for the crimes. And that was Jesus. And every person who trusts in Jesus become one of those people that Jesus has replaced in that day of punishment. Their wrongdoing is put onto Jesus, and Jesus' goodness is put upon them, so that they can become people who are forgiven and their relationship with God is restored. And this brings many good things. It brings many good things for today and good things for tomorrow as well. So when we trust in Jesus, when we realize that we've done things wrong, that we are criminals, but God is offering a way for us to have the slate wiped clean, we become part of the kingdom of heaven. And the blessings it brings is, first of all, we have a clean slate. All of us have got skeletons in our closet. Things that we have done wrong, which we don't want anyone else to know about. God knows about those things, and he will forgive you of those things when you admit that you have done wrong and say, I don't want to live that way anymore. So we start with a clean slate. We are forgiven. And next we can approach God again. We are made to have a relationship with God. We are made to worship the one who has made us. And when we're not worshipping him, we're worshipping something else. That may be a football team, it may be money, it may be experiences, it may be a member of our family, it may even be ourselves. But we naturally find our sense of belonging and reason for existence in something. And it should be God. When it's not God, it's something else. But once we turn to Jesus, we can have that restored relationship with God. So that emptiness inside you that you're trying to fill with all sorts of things is taken away because you have found the truth. Next, we get God's help for today. He works in us to make us nicer people. He answers our prayers. He leads us and he guides us. And we see that all sorts of things just work out. They just happen. God is really good to us. And he always helps us in whatever situation we're facing. So we have help for the problems of life. We're never promised that we'll escape them, but we're always promised that he will be with us through them. And another benefit is that we become part of the church, the kingdom of heaven, where we have people who have also trusted in Jesus, and we gather together to support and encourage each other, to learn more about God together, and to sing his praises. And it's wonderful being part of this extended family of people who are able to provide love and support for one another. So they're the benefits that you get today when you find this treasure. Tomorrow, it means that when we do eventually die, and all of us will eventually die, it means that we go to be with Jesus in heaven and the place of blessing. It will be far better than we can imagine, and we don't go to the other place, the place of punishment, which will be far worse than people think. So we have that. But then one day in the future, Jesus has promised he will come back and he will return the world to its former glory. And all those who trust in him will be with him forever, living in the world as it was meant to be. This is the treasure of the kingdom of heaven. And it is why when people realize its value, nothing will stop them doing all that they can to get it. And the good news is, right now, the door is open. Everyone who seriously looks for the kingdom of heaven will find it. To get in, you do have to admit that you've done things wrong. You have to apologize to God, and you have to want to leave the bad things behind. And this can be difficult because people are filled with pride and self-righteousness. But deep down, you know it's the truth. You know you've done something wrong and you need to say sorry and you should turn away from those things. And when we do this, when we go to Jesus and we pray to him with this attitude, then we will become people who are able to enter the kingdom of heaven. All we have to do is place our trust, place our faith in him, and then you are in. And for you, it will be much better than what the Trotter brothers received when they auctioned that rare old watch, or the person who finds cash in the attic. You would have found the greatest treasure in the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.